morning. Welcome, everybody. Everyone here in the room, special welcome to all of our online guests as well. My name's James. I'm part of the teaching team. Glad to have you all here. And I really do hope I get the opportunity to meet all of you or many of you at our Next Steps evening next Sunday evening, especially if you're brand new to FAC. It's a great opportunity to connect and get to know people. And those of you that are trying to take some next steps of connecting, growing, serving, or sharing, it's the ideal place to do that, to make some next steps in your journey of faith, your next steps in your journey here at FAC, because all of us, just about all of us at least, have a next step that we have to take, and a next step in that journey of faith. And if you'd like to find out what that is, it's a great opportunity to do that, to be part of that journey. I've got a little bit of bragging to do, because Pastor Kyle, our family life pastor, said something quite complimentary about me on Friday night at the Men's Beast Feast. He described me as a strapping Scotsman. The derisory laughter is not funny. We started our fall series last weekend over the fence. We had a great crowd here last weekend. I think it was something like 4,600 people. But we started with some great questions about where we live. Questions like, how can I become a great neighbor? Where does my life fit into the story of God's mission? What if my own backyard could become the starting point for God's mission in my life? Because we really believe that God's mission is an invitation for all of us to come out from behind the fences of our life. Literal fences like this little picket fence here, or metaphorical fences, the things, the places we sometimes hide a little behind or guard ourselves behind. Because I believe that God is inviting all of us to become people of influence and of impact. I hope that you managed to get hold of one of our pocket guides. We were giving them out again this morning on the way in, or you may have got hold of one last week. They're beautiful little guides that describe what fence means, and they've got great practical steps that each of us could take along the journey. And if you've got one, or you don't have one, you can get one as you leave this morning. They're available in the tunnels on the way out. You can grab hold of one on Main Street. If you're watching online, they're readily downloadable for you right now. And they describe some 5 simple practices that would help each of us to become a little bit more involved in our own communities, to become better neighbors, to become these people of influence and of impact. And they have a little acronym on the back cover of what FENCE stands for, F-E-N-C-E. F stands for first pray. It's what we talked about last week. It's the way Jesus began his every day. It's the way Jesus began his ministry. First pray. I will pray for the people in my life and the places that God had sent me. E stands for ears open. That's what we're talking about today. I will listen to and discover the needs of others and the places where God is at work. N stands for? There you go. I am amazed at my ability as a teacher. I don't know about a Bible teacher, but my ability to communicate about food. Everybody got that N was for nachos, even though it really says nourish on the book, but still. We had nachos at the Beast Feast on Friday night. It was really exciting. I will share meals and spend time with the people in my life. C is for caring acts. I will respond to the needs of others and help them in tangible ways. E is for exchange stories. I will share with others the story of Jesus and the story of what he's doing in my life. Simple little acronym, simple steps, missional practices that help us engage in the neighborhoods where we live. But today we begin with ears open. Now I've got a confession to make, and I need to fess up right away. I'm not a very good listener, which kind of rules me out for this whole talk this morning. I don't know why I get invited to do it. Sometimes my wife Jillian, now she's not here this morning, she was here last night, which made this seriously awkward, but sometimes she asks me a question and she says, "What did I just say?" Yeah, and I sort of have this blank look in my face. Anybody relate to this? Yeah, a lot of guys at least. She bought me this book about 25 years ago. Great book with a simple title, Listening. Lisa, I think it's a great book because I've never opened it in 25 years. I thought about reading it for this morning's talk because I thought it might have some good ideas in it, but since I've never looked at it in 25 years, there didn't seem much point in starting now, so I didn't. I haven't actually read the thing. But I decided I should probably have a look at what Jesus was doing about this, and so that's where I began for this morning. And I want us to look at an encounter that Jesus had with somebody in Luke's Gospel. So if you've got your Bible with you, or you want to use one in the chair back in front of you, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 18. And if you're watching online, the resource should be available to you. We're turning to Luke's account of the life of Jesus, chapter 18. We're going to begin at verse 35. This is quite a fascinating little story in the life of Jesus as he's journeying from Galilee in the north of Israel down to the big city of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Now I want you to try to imagine this man's situation for a little while. As a result of his blindness, he's unemployed. He's homeless, he's poor, he's destitute, he's a beggar. He's begging for his own survival. If you could see him in his own world, in his time and culture, he's not well groomed, he's not well cared for, he's got a scraggly beard, he's dirty and unkempt, he's got long scraggly hair, his scent is off-putting, he's got a threadbare cloak, he's dirty. There's nothing attractive or impressive about him. Jesus, up until now, has been living and working and ministering in a rural area up north called Galilee. It's predominantly small towns, fishing, farming, country people. It's kind of like Saskatchewan, if you want to be honest. He's making his I should stop now while I'm getting ahead. He's making his journey south to the big city of Jerusalem, the city on a rock. It's hewn out of a big rock face. The big temple is there. The Holy of Holies is there. The priests are all there. It's where the sacrifices are made. He's going down for the great big annual festival of Passover, where all God's people tend to go. At least all the religious types go down there for this sort of thing. Big annual feast. People are traveling, most of them going by foot. It's the only way to get there. Everybody's on their way. People coming to worship God. It's a momentous holiday. The roads are packed, filled with people. The little towns on the way are filled with pilgrims traveling along. They have to stop to fill their bags with provisions. People are in the shops buying food, getting water and supplies. The hotels or guest houses are packed full of people on their way, traveling along. A huge crowd of people swelling the roads and towns. Think of a big holiday weekend here. Something like Stampede Week or Canada Day, the crowds packing into the downtown area, the Olympic Plaza, the Saddle Dome, or the Stampede Grounds, just stuffed full of people. That's what these little towns were like. And that's what Jericho was like, people on their way to Jerusalem. And as Jesus is passing through, there's this poor, blind beggar at the side of the road. And you've got to know, there's not only one, not really. There'd be a lot of people doing this. All these spiritual, pious people on their way to Jerusalem. This was prime time because it's a great time to get some pennies. If you're broke and got no other way to survive, this is the ideal time to be out at the side of the road hoping some of these kind religious types would give you some money. There's got to be a lot of people out there hoping to make a living, hoping to get some resources to help them get going. They're lined up at the side of the road and he shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And people shouted him, "Be quiet. Jesus is busy. He's really important. We're going to Jerusalem. You people are always interrupting. Enough already." Because raw human need is quite intrusive, isn't it? It spoils the party. They want him to be quiet. We flip the channel. But what does he do? He just yells louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And I want you to pause for a second so you don't miss out. Jesus wasn't looking for somebody to heal that morning. It's not as though he woke up and thought, oh my gosh, I'm behind on my miracle quota for the week. I better get on with doing something. He's just trying to get some Coke and chips on his way to Jerusalem. Jericho's the last, I get a chance to visit there this summer. It's the last little place you stop to before you get to Jerusalem. He just wants a snack and get going, that's all. He really isn't trying to find something nice to do. It's not that far away. There are tons of people on the road, the same road as Jesus. All these people, and somehow this blind guy figures out that Jesus is there, and he finds out that Jesus is there at just that moment, and he yells out, "Have mercy on me!" And despite the crowd, Jesus hears the one voice. I mean, could you pick out one voice at the stampede, the midway at the stampede? Could you hear one particular voice calling out to you? If you're at the Saddle Dome at a concert or at a game, could you hear out one voice calling out to you? My wife says that she can hear me coughing in a crowd. Apparently a bunch of my co-workers tell me now they can hear one voice coughing in the crowd. It's kind of as though the cats come back into the building and all the mice pretend they're working again so they know, you know. Maybe that's unfair. I hear Jesus here as though Jesus hears this one guy's voice, like a mom can hear her baby crying in the midst of a room full of toddlers. She hears that one cry. And all the people tell him to leave Jesus alone, but he won't be made quiet. He cries out even louder, and here's what happens next. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus goes, "Woof!" And he can see. The end. And it's a great story. Jesus heals him. Jesus heals him, and just in case you're wondering, Jesus can do that sort of stuff. Jesus can still do that sort of stuff. Blind people can see, sick people get better. Jesus can still heal people. It's a great story, and it's a great ending. But not so fast. Because I want you to notice one particular thing. I want you to notice the question he asks. He asks the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" It almost seems like a silly question, really. It's not as though Jesus didn't notice the blind man wasn't blind. When we were in Amsterdam last month for our son John's wedding, we were staying right beside a big train station, and I used to get up every morning to go for breakfast. And every morning I'd get up and notice a blind man making his way to the train station to go to work, and he would go along to the train station, and then he had to go upstairs to go to the platform. You could see he was blind. It was really obvious he was as blind as he was making his way along and going up the stairs. You didn't need anybody to tell you he was blind. He was struggling to get there every morning and making his way to there. I didn't need to ask him a question like, "Dude, are you blind?" It was really obvious. So why is Jesus asking him? Why is Jesus asking the question? Is it some sort of dramatic build-up just to make the story more interesting so the healing would look a little more impressive? I'll tell you why I think Jesus is asking the question. Do you know why he's asking the question? Because Jesus doesn't assume that he knows what people need. Jesus doesn't go around assuming that he knows what people need. He doesn't make assumptions about people, so he asks questions. He listens. I think that's important. It's super important. If you want to write down one thing this morning, and I think you should write it down, if you're going to write down one thing, write this down. Quit making assumptions about people. Quit making assumptions about people. Now, we all know that listening is important in our closest personal relationships. We all understand that. Everybody here has probably said to somebody, or had it said to themselves, "You never listen to me." And it's super important when it comes to reaching over the fence, to reaching into our own neighborhoods or on our own street. And so Jesus says to this guy, "What do you want to do? What do you want me to do for you?" Now, I'm not suggesting every time you have a conversation with your neighbor, you begin by saying that. "What would you like me to do for you?" That would probably come across as mildly weird. But I do think that in our interactions with people, we should listen to them as though we've already asked that question, as though we're having a conversation that sounds like that. "What would you like me to do for you?" We need to listen with our ears open. Don't assume. The truth is, many of us do go around doing nice things for our family or for our friends or for our neighbors. But in most instances, what we really need to do is listen. Don't assume. Ears open. You see, we live in a world where hardly anybody listens. We have a problem of not listening because most people are most interested in what they've got to say themselves. I think that's why we feel so lonely. Nobody's listening. We're all shouting online and nobody's listening. I came across this saying this week: the opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak. Even when we're not talking, a lot of times we're not thinking about what the other person's saying. We're just thinking about what we're going to say. I struggle with this. Not really listening to what the other person's saying. I'm just queuing up what I'm going to say next. It's a terrible habit. Let's do a show of hands. How many of us have ever been in a conversation where you know the other person isn't listening at all? Wow. I mean, that's like most of us. You've just been in a conversation and the other person's going, and they're sort of making noises and groaning, and you know they're not listening. They're not listening to a word you're saying. But if we want to be part of God's mission in our own backyard, if we want to reach over the fence to the people on our own street, we need to become intentional, really intentional about listening to people. You know, the guy who invented the stethoscope was noted for saying this to the people he gave it to: if you want to use this tool, then don't stop listening to your patients. They're telling you how to heal them. He was trying to say to doctors, use it well to listen to hearts and to listen to lungs, but don't stop listening to patients, because he wanted to make sure they were listening to people. Our daughter Ailey recently completed a piece of research for care delivery for patients in socially deprived areas in Western Europe. It was focused on patients with multiple chronic conditions, people that were seemingly falling through the cracks in their healthcare systems, or the healthcare system was failing them. The newly designed system was called Care Plus, and it was focused on a number of things, but one of them was longer interactions between patients and healthcare providers. Part of that involved longer consultation times, where consultation times were increased to somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes. Who's ever been with your doctor or a healthcare provider for between 30 and 45 minutes? A few of us, not many. Most of us are in, out, bottle of pills, and off we go. The results were remarkable. Our findings are actually getting published in a journal later this year. It was remarkable both for the healthcare provider when they were in peer support groups, and it was also remarkable for the patients as well in the delivery system process. Remarkable results. Do you know why? Because people were being heard. People were being heard. I think we need to listen to people. Listen to our communities, listen to our workplaces, listen to our schools, listen to our families, listen to our classmates, listen to the hurts, listen to the needs, listen to the wounds of people God has placed in our lives. Listen to what they really need. That's what Jesus was doing when he stopped and he asked the blind man a question. We could start by listening to people. Now, when I say listen to people, I don't just mean listen to the words that come out of their mouths. Because if that's all we were doing, I could have given you all a Q-tip this morning, we could have worked at the wax, and then all gone home, and we could have tried. Here's what I kind of mean. I think we need to listen to where people are really at in their lives. It's a little bit like real estate. What's the most important thing you're dealing with when you deal with real estate? What do realtors always say? You need to say it louder. I can't hear. Location, location, location. And it's not just real estate, it's to do with people as well. There's a researcher, one of the leading researchers in marriage. His name is Dr. John Gottman. And he says this is why marriages succeed and fail. He's discovered that unhappily married couples think they know what their spouse is most looking forward to or excited about, and what they're most worried or concerned about, but they actually don't. And that's what he means by location. Unhappily married couples don't know the location of their partner. On the other hand, happily married couples do know their things, do know these things. They know their spouse's emotional and personal location. They know what their spouse is looking forward to or excited about, or what they're worried or concerned about. But get this, happily married couples don't have an intuition about this. They don't have some sort of sixth sense. They don't have some sort of magic incantation to figure this thing out. They simply actually listen to each other. They pay close attention to each other's lives. They listen with ears open. I think this is something we could all do with working at in our regular lives, with kids, with parents, with friends, with our neighbors, with ears open, by asking questions. What are you excited about these days? What are you concerned about? The point is that to really know somebody, you need to know on a regular basis what's going on. We need to know something about that person's location. And when it comes to reaching over the fence in a neighborhood, in a workplace, in a school, or in a family, we need to know the location of people. We can't just assume we know these things. We need to know what makes them excited, what matters to them, the challenges they face, the needs that they have. Jesus took the time to find out. He had his ears open. I'm pretty sure we could actually try. First, pray. Pray that God would give you the opportunity to have the conversation. And then listen with ears open. That's what reaching over the fence looks like. That's what God's mission in our own backyard looks like. When you think about it, this fence thing's not that hard to understand. First, pray, ears open. It takes practice. Because as we were thinking last week, practice doesn't make perfect, but it does make possible. Won't make you a perfect person. Won't make you a perfect Christian, but it will make possible the opportunity to reach over the fence. The practice of praying and listening makes it possible for us to reach over the fence and build relationships with the people round about us. There's a story in the very early years of Christian faith that intrigues me. It's the story of an old Christian monk, one of these guys who kind of lived most of his life in solitude. He'd kind of live out in a monastery, somewhat out in the desert. And every few months or every few weeks, he'd come back into town for some supplies, for food and water. And he'd come into town for a few days, stay with some friends, get all he needed, and he'd go back out to where he was staying, kind of more or less on his own. Then he'd come back a few weeks later. And whenever he came into town, people would line up to come and visit with him. And at his friend's house, they'd be a big line. They'd want to sit and chat with him for a while. They thought he was quite a spiritual person. They'd want some advice or just listen to what God had been telling him. And so there was always a lineup of people who wanted to spend time with him. There was one person in town, a little more skeptical, wondered what this holy man had to say. And so he decided he'd join the queue and wait his turn to come and speak to him. And when he eventually got into the house, there was a few people ahead of him, but he got in and he sat down and he waited. And he discovered that this old man, this old monk, he had nothing profound to say. Do you know what he discovered? The old man just listened. He listened to people. That's all he did. And I think in our world, people just desperately want to be heard. They want to be heard. The real question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Jesus' little brother James once wrote these words. He said, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Quick to listen. And yet so often our instinct to speak is stronger than our instinct to listen. And I feel the rebuke of my own words right now. The book of Proverbs says this, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions." I think we're all getting the point here. We need to learn how to listen. If Jesus took the time to have his ears open and listen, then I think I can too. Here's what I've been slowly learning, even though I know I'm not the best listener. Listening is a form of love. Listening is a form of love. By laying aside my own agenda, our own agendas, and taking a break for what we're doing, we have the opportunity to focus on the other person, to give them our attention, to make them the center of our attention, even if only for a brief while. It's an act of love that puts the other person in focus. And it's an act of humility that takes me out of the center of the universe for a little while. Listening's a form of love. And listening shows that you care. It shows that you want to understand what the other person is feeling or experiencing or thinking or communicating. In fact, not listening suggests that somebody's not worth your time. And you know what? Sometimes I've done that. And if I've ever done that to you, I want to tell you that I'm sorry. And I know I've done that to some of you, and I want to say that this morning. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry if I've hurt you by doing that to you. Listening shows that you respect the other person for their insights. That you respect the other person for their insights. That you allow yourself and your opinions to be challenged by what somebody else has to say. That you're willing to learn and grow by listening to something else the other person says that might challenge something you've believed or something you've thought or held dear. So what might make for a good listener? Well, I've looked around and asked and got some tips and ideas. I decided to limit myself because I'm not good at this and I didn't need a million ideas because I knew I'd never take them all on board. So I stuck to a few, trying not to get overwhelmed. Here's the first one I thought of. Be patient. Resist the urge to speak. That's hard. I get paid to speak. That's hard. Resist the urge to speak. It's painful for me, but I can try. Resist the urge. Ask questions. When it is my turn to talk, I could ask questions that clarify what I've been told to make sure I'm understanding what somebody's trying to tell me. Did I really get what you're telling me? Am I really understanding what you're saying? I could ask good questions to make sure I really get what's going on. Here's another one. Don't redirect attention to yourself. You don't need to tell a better story. You don't need to one-up what's going on. You don't need to outdo the other person. Just let somebody else be the focus of attention for a little while. Let them be the center of attention. You know, when I look at Jesus' interaction with this blind guy, this event that took place at Jericho on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus ticked all of those boxes, didn't he? He ticked all of those boxes. There's another aspect to listening to ears open that I want us to think about today for a little bit, though, and that's listening to places. We know that we can't reach over the fence without listening to people, but I think we also need to be listening to places as well. Here's what I mean by that. If we want to listen to our community or listen to our city, here's a practice that I think we could do with as we work with our small group. And if you're not in a small group, Next Steps, next Sunday evening, is a great way for you to experience community in a small group here at FAC. If you're in a small group, here's a great practice. Grab a newspaper, the guy in the green dressing gown. Man, that was fun. Get a newspaper if you can still find one, a highlighter pen, and start highlighting it from cover to cover. Highlight the needs that you see in the newspaper. When you highlight the needs, let the needs drive a conversation in your group, asking yourself, which of those needs could we meet? Or which ones are we interested or passionate about that we could pray about? Or which organization could we go volunteer in? Or which event that's coming up could we plug into? There might be an event you could go to. Or which person could we come alongside and help or simply pray for? There are things in there that would allow you to understand your community better. It's a great way just to listen to your community. And I know newspapers aren't very common anymore. I rarely read a newspaper, but you could get an online edition and read that. Or you could get a community magazine or a community newspaper or newsletter and do it with that. Or here's another option. You could phone up a city councillor or an MLA and take them out for coffee. Now, this is interesting because most of them, when somebody do that, are waiting for you to berate them about something. They're always used to people complaining about traffic, about sprawl, about the green line, and moaning and groaning. Take one of them out and do this. Ask them what you could do to help in your community. First time I ever did that with a city councillor, he almost sprayed his coffee all over me. It was mildly entertaining. So if you want a fun afternoon, take a city councillor out and do that. And just ask them what you could do to make a difference in your community. They'll be blown away. Listen to your community. Join a community association and attend a meeting. Join a parents group at your kid's school. Volunteer in a community activity. Become a volunteer at a hospital or a library. Listen to the needs around you. Have your ears open. The places where we live and work, they're constantly speaking, if we'll hear them. Neighborhood associations, school board, city council, show up at a meeting. Listen for what God would have you hear. You see, to reach over the fence, first we pray, then we have our ears open. We listen to the people and places where we live and work, and if we do it daily, I'm pretty sure God's going to reveal something to us. If you've got your pocket guide and you open it up to the ears open section, there's a great little prayer in there that we could pray daily. You want to do that right now with me? If you don't have one, I'm going to put the words on the screen anyway so that we could pray this together. I want us to pray it out loud together. It's a great prayer that I think we could pray daily to allow God to help us hear what's going on. So let's pray this together. God, how do you want me to impact my world today? Help me to listen and discover the needs of others and where you're at work. And then listen. Listen daily. Listen for his answer. Listen to people. Listen to places. And we're in our small groups. Talk about what we're hearing, what people and places are telling us. Jesus heard one man's voice in a large crowd. Every day we come into contact with people that probably nobody cares about, nobody else is listening to. My prayer is that we would be transformed into people that are truly listening. Truly listening so that Jesus can heal and help people round about us. People who are listening for the answer to Jesus' question, what do you want me to do for you? Here's one last thought. Whether you're here in this big room or whether you're watching online, for all of us, maybe you feel that nobody ever listens to you. Wouldn't it be amazing if we just took an extra 5 or 10 minutes this morning and took the time to listen to somebody here and had a conversation with them and truly just listen to somebody today for a little while longer, to have our ears open, to hear what somebody might want to say? Here's something else though. Can you even begin to imagine that Jesus wants to listen to you today? That he wants to ask you the question, what do you want me to do for you? I'm guessing there's some of us here today think Jesus is just too busy for me. He's much too important for me. I'm insignificant. Or I'm too inadequate for Jesus to bother with me. He's the Son of God and all. Why would he be interested in me? Or I'm too imperfect for him. He's holy. If he only knew the state of my life, he'd have no time for me. I want you to do something for me. I want you to listen with your ears open to Jesus' invitation to you this morning, because I believe this with all my heart. Jesus came here this morning just for you. I don't know why you showed up. Maybe you wanted to be here. Maybe somebody just made you come. Maybe it was an impulse decision. Maybe you get guilted into it. Maybe it's just the thing you always do. But I think Jesus had a reason for you to be here today. He wanted to ask you a question. What do you want me to do for you? So listen with your ears open to Jesus' words to you today. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Father, thank you today that you love to listen to us. Thank you that Jesus is here asking us that simple question. What do you want me to do for you? And Lord, there's some of us here and we know the answer right away. Some of us are lonely and we want a friend. Some of us are heartbroken and we want somebody to bring comfort and hope. Some of us are wounded in spirit and we need somebody to patch us up. Some of us are sick physically and we need somebody to heal us. Some of us, life feels so hopeless and we don't feel we've got a tomorrow and we wonder, could anybody assure us of it? Some of us feel desperately lonely. We want somebody to love us. Some of us have done something really stupid and we need somebody to forgive us. Some of us don't know you at all and we need to know there's a God who loves us. Some of us have walked a long way away from you and we want to know, can we find our way back? Lord, there's a lot of stuff going on in our hearts right now. And yet to all of us, that simple invitation is coming to us, come to me. Lord, I pray that in our hearts, all of us could say, God, I'm coming. Don't rush off. I'm coming. And so we pray today, would you meet with us and do something that only you could do for each one of us? That we would know today that we met with Jesus just like that blind guy did. So in our faltering, feeble way, hear our heart's cry today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe your prayer is that you do want to be a better neighbor. We'd still love to encourage you. Write your name in one of these pickets, one of these sticks. Stick it into one of these wheelbarrows up here. There's time to do that. And if you've got a neighbor you're praying for and you want to pray that they would come to know Jesus the way you've come to know Jesus, write their name on there as an act of faith that somehow Jesus is going to help you reach over the fence and reach into their lives. Come and do that right now. God bless you.